what's really cool is I have this closet in my basement that's just off, and it's like unassuming because it's off in a corner and it's far away from where you enter the basement down here.
Yeah,
and it's just filled with stuff that we have yet to unpack, and the furnace is in there and all sorts of other bullshit. And like 2 weeks ago, I snuck a fridge in there. Because it was given to me. Some guy's like, "You want a fridge?" I'm like, "Yes, I do." I came home from work, and nobody was home, so I just put it down there and never said anything about it. So now we're going on 3 weeks that I have a secret fridge that my wife knows nothing about.
That sounds awesome. You can keep all sorts of, like, food and beers and...
like snacks,
body parts and stuff.
Yeah,
in there.
I know. It's going to be awesome. I just can't wait for her to, like, for some reason, me like... amble in there and be shocked that there's a fully stocked fridge in our bottom floor. So,
oh, you didn't know we had caviar down here? Yeah, I mean, I don't even like it, but I just think it's nice to have in the fridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Plumbus Among Us, the Rickest Rick and Morty podcast. My name is Brian, and with me, as always, is my friend Jeff. Jeff, how are you doing this evening?
Not too shabs, Brian.
Awesome, awesome.
Hanging out.
Jeff and I are also on the Nothing Important podcast with our friend Dave, and we also do a Better Call Saul podcast called It's Saul Goodman. You can find It's Saul Goodman and A Plumbus Among Us on the TV Time app. TV Time app, you can download, meme, reply, react, all sorts of fun shit about your favorite TV shows. There's literally thousands of them on there, and it's a lot of fun. I just recently checked off all of season 4 for BoJack Horseman.
Oh, nice. I haven't gotten to the whole thing yet.
Awesome show. Awesome show.
Yes. Fantastic.
So, if you're into BoJack or Better Call Saul or A Plumbus Among Us, take a look look around for Nothing Important Podcast. We're on there. We're posting. And you should, too. So, make sure that you download it on your smartphone. So, Jeff, we're a little late, but I think this is actually kind of working for us, doing it later in the week, because everybody rushes to be the first ones out, but yeah. I think it actually helps us that all that dies down, and then people listen to us later in the week, so I think this is actually not bad for us.
Get kind of a refresher before the new episode airs.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Seems to be doing okay, and we thank everybody out there for listening, even the folks on Waze. Jeff, do you use Waze?
I do not use Waze.
Gotcha. Well,
a lot of people I work with do, though.
Right, and I use it here in the city because my job's very mobile, and I use it a lot, especially going into the city. It is basically Facebook for fucking driving. You know, what can go wrong with that, right? So what's great about it is when people post how there's, like, roadblocks or potholes or backed up traffic or a construction zone, you can actually comment on the postings that people make during your daily commute.
Okay.
So to be funny, I'll always write an advertisement for A Plumbus Among Us or the Nothing Important podcast, and I'll paste it into the comments.
Yeah.
And before we talk about the Rick Lantis mix-up, I think I'd like to read some of those comments now.
Oh, please. Please do.
Yeah. Now, just to clarify, these are not people writing us specifically for A Plumbus Among Us. This is more so people... not too impressed with me using the Waze app to advertise, which, you know, I think is smart marketing, personally.
Yeah, people are engaged, right? They're in their car. They're already using their phone in their car when they're not supposed to be. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's got to be better than any of the crap on the radio. Kids, don't do this. Don't text and drive.
Or do it.
Or whatever. I'm not your parent.
So anyway, I leave an advertisement, and it's usually something to the effect of make traffic suck less, check out A Plumbus Among Us, the Rickest Rick and Morty podcast, or something like that, like bored in traffic, something, nothing important, we're awesome. Mainly because it's funny to me. First off, it's totally not how the platform is supposed to be used. And
sure, absolutely.
In a way, it's probably ingenious marketing just a little bit because people are listening to podcasts while they're in their car.
Right. And if anything, you're pioneering this new form of advertisement.
Right.
Via Waze.
Right? So the thing about traffic is eventually traffic dies down. So when you leave comments, the comments die with it. And apparently, I'm the only person that ever leaves comments on anything on the road because most people are probably driving like they're supposed to.
Right.
So as I was stuck in traffic and sitting there for 10 minutes, the beauty of it is you can scroll the map up and look, you know, what's ahead of you. So I was scrolling and copying and pasting this advertisement for our podcast, and I happen upon this construction zone that's been there for a year, and I see that one of the construction zone icons has several comments on it. So I click on it because that's rare to see. Usually I'm the only person putting comments on these things.
Right.
And the first one was, bored in traffic, check out the Rickest Rick and Morty podcast.
That was the first comment?
Yeah, because that's the one I put.
Okay.
The second comment was, what the fuck is a Rick and Morty? The third comment was, nobody wants to listen to your shitty podcast.
True.
Yeah, true. Yeah, well played. And the rest of them were all people bitching about seeing ads on Waze on their way to work.
So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations on pissing people off even more than they already are sitting in construction traffic.
It's like I found a whole new way to troll people and advertise our podcast at the same time. And that might...
Which is fantastic. The more people we can reach. Really, that's what it's about.
Right. My friend, that is called innovation.
Mm-hmm. We're doing them a service.
Yeah. But I do see a slight increase in the download numbers every time I do that. So people on your way to work in Chicago, go fuck yourselves.
Or don't and listen to A Plumbus Among Us, the Rickest Rick and Morty podcast. We thank you for taking the time to actually click on the link that was posted. We're glad to have you.
The Rick Lannis mix-up. The Rick Lannis mix-up. The synopsis is, Atlantis, we are coming. A nice little self-contained episode about Atlantis is waiting for the audience. What a bunch of dickheads.
I was kind of excited.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, for whatever the hell going to Atlantis dimension was going to be.
Yeah, you know what? Like, the way they set that up, I sit there and kept thinking, I'm like, this seems a little out of character for Rick and Morty. Like, going to Atlantis? Right? Like,
yeah, that doesn't promoting seem like, it that way, too.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a big, crazy adventure, right? Like, going to Atlantis is like what Scooby-Doo and the Mystery Gang. You know what I mean? It just seemed like too trite, I guess, of a concept. So it kind of, like, you know, Spidey senses started tingling a bit when that's what they were talking about, but they did not let on what was going to happen whatsoever. Yeah, so I was like, yeah, well, okay, like, again, just like a couple episodes ago, you know, I was like, okay, maybe they just needed like a really quick episode or something. And so they're like, what does every fantasy TV show do? I don't know, touch on the lost city of Atlantis. Bam, we're done.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, fuck it, right?
Let's get lazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Aquaman jokes galore. Like that's what I was expecting. And then they kept to it, too, because they had the whole opening where Rick and Morty are preparing to go to Atlantis.
Yeah, putting on their wetsuits and getting their spears or their harpoon guns.
Mm-hmm. I do like how Morty had a snorkel. Like, what the hell is a snorkel going to do underwater?
Completely underwater? Wow. Maybe they have a pool he was going to go participate in.
That's true.
I don't know how that works, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. But then another Rick and Morty jump in looking for donations to rebuild the Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
And our Rick is basically like, go fuck yourself. I killed everybody there for a reason. I'm not giving you shit.
And the other Rick realizes, oh, shit, I'm talking to the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Because what's he say? It's like a cop talking to a black kid or something like that?
Yeah.
The sheriff's donation, like that?
Yeah, it was like talking to a black teenager about making a donation for the policeman's ball.
Yeah, there you
go. So genius. Some of the writing on this is absolutely phenomenal. I was like, wow, okay. That's a pretty heavy-handed remark, but all hilarious at the same time.
Yep, and it also sets what happens next here, Tales of the Citadel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When they go in, and we get we get four separate stories going on at the same time. an A, B, C, and D plot all going on at the same time, which was awesome to see and difficult at sometimes to keep track of.
Right. Because
everything was bouncing back and forth so much.
One of the things that was absolutely phenomenal, though, is that it was pretty much Justin Roiland talking to himself the entire episode.
Yeah, except for, like, the Simple Rick Cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Commercials. I think those are the only non-Justin voices.
Yeah, who was the cowboy in The Big Lebowski?
Sam. Elliot.
That was Sam Elliott. Was the
was it
was the Simple Rick? Yeah, Sam Elliott was the voice of the Simple Rick commercials. But as you watch it, even though he's playing the same character and very like he did a really good job of making him distinct. Even though I still get lost as many times as I've seen it now, I still get lost. But you see, this is why this episode's so weird for me, because I will still lose track kind of where we're supposed to be and what the hell is actually going on. But mm-hmm. I still feel like when there's like four Ricks on screen or whatever, that they're each like a distinct Rick.
Yeah, it's not necessarily if it's their voice is different, but they're different enough drawn, or they have their different whatever uniqueness to them.
Yeah, or their
so you can still tell who they are,
right?
For the most part,
or their personalities and inflection, mm-hmm. and tone, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So it's the whole thing starts. We get a look at what the Citadel has become after Rick blew it up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh really weirdly there. My wife was being funny, and she like she ran downstairs to grab something and almost like wiped out and hit her face on the floor before she ran back upstairs. So
good for her.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, we get a glimpse of day to day life. Like it starts out like a sitcom almost. Mm-hmm. Just kind of going through what the Citadel's like after Rick blew it up,
right?
And essentially, and killed everybody.
And you sit there and look at it, and you're like, what? What? There's Ricks, like, mowing the lawn and working in a factory and being crossing guards and shit. But if you think about it, if the only inhabitants of your world are either Rick or Mortys, I mean, there's got to be, you know, like, a house painter Rick.
You know? Yeah, there's got to be a sanitation crew.
Right.
You know, all sorts of people to just do general civic duties.
Right, and the, you know, and of course, naturally, there has to be Mortys that just kind of excel higher, even though a majority of them are obviously doofuses and live in their own little Morty Town slum. You know, there's some that rise above.
And then we get a glimpse during that little montage of the school for lost Mortys,
mm-hmm.
Mortys who have lost their Ricks in there. We've got police officer training, Ricks.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, my wife just threw her bra and underwear down the stairs. So.
Fantastic.
All right, okay. So we're back at the school.
And then we get all the Ricks going to work on the train. And I think that's what you're kind of alluding to, the different Ricks.
Right.
We see Bald Rick, who we'll meet later,
mm-hmm.
Feeling all depressed as he watches a rich Rick eat sardines and drink champagne in his car while he has to ride the tram, the L, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
To work. And then we get kind of jumped right in.
Yeah. I mean, so many great little things, and I'm not even going to go through all the ones I saw. It's just really well done, like just the different levels of Ricks and Mortys. I love how there's a slur for the Mortys. I think it was yellow shirts.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. And jaded cop Morty is my new favorite Morty.
Well, yeah, his storyline, or that whole thing,
mm-hmm.
Really everything in here mirrors a movie, which is kind of a theme for, well, the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
But especially this season, there's been a lot of mirroring of films. So this one we get, it starts out the Manchurian Candidate,
mm-hmm.
which you find out because there's an election, the first Democratic election, mm-hmm. going on in the Citadel instead of being run by the Council of Ricks.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get, what, Stand By Me? That's the gang of Mortys from the school who go on a journey of self-discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Training Day. Training Day with Cop Rick and Rookie Cop, or Cop Morty, Grizzled Cop Morty.
Grizzled, yeah, there you go.
And Rookie Cop Rick. Going in there. And then there's the fourth one, which has to do with the factory that's going on, which I guess would be some type of workplace thing, probably like falling down or,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, something. Of that nature, a disgruntled workplace employee type drama,
mm-hmm.
going on. Yep. So a very intricate overlay that they have all these pieces going on. But the big one that starts out, like I said, the Manchurian Candidate, we find out they're having an election. juggling or even juggling Rick is the most advertised around the city. You see that, which is a ridiculous Rick.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, everyone's got to have their niche.
A Rick-diculous Rick.
Rick-diculous Rick. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But General Rick, he's in the lead pretty much by far, mm-hmm. as far as everyone else goes. But there's also a Morty running, we find out. A charismatic Morty mm-hmm. running, which is odd, and he's obviously the underdog in a land of Ricks.
Right. Pretty confident, though, and he's ready to rock. He's even kind of disparaged. Maybe not disparaged, but he becomes the butt of a lot of like really sardonic comments from the reporter Rick, mm-hmm. and what was it like Rick 157, and then it was 157B and Rick 157C. Eventually,
yes,
gave
and
it.
They all as they go down the line, they progressively hate each other more and more,
mm-hmm. and are progressively more and more disfigured.
Yes, so there's obviously something going on there when we get to. As you go lower and lower into a dimension, mm-hmm. or changes in a dimension, people get more and more disfigured and disliked by their uppity counterparts.
Right. And, you know, I know we're not talking a bunch about the plot, but just, like, there's so much in this episode to, like, unpack. Like, one of the things I noticed, too, is I know everybody jerks off to politics and everybody has their own views and whatever, and this episode, I feel like it was very South Park-esque in the way that it touched on social issues but used the characters within their world to do so without necessarily like hitting you across the head with it.
Yeah. Well, and I found that also. I mean, maybe it's just the timing is impeccable.
Again.
Because, I mean, this
again, first they had the racist name joke and then Robert Lee with ESPN and then...
Yeah. But this episode had to have been written at least months ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, before it could have been animated and
right.
voiced and everything like that. So,
and you can't even say that like, the voice that they were taking, again, like South Park, you can't even say that the voice that they were taking was liberal or conservative or whatever, because it was done in such a way, it was using the parameters of their own universe to make such great social commentary that you really could make an argument that the show itself is... making a satire of whatever side is opposite of you.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with that.
Like the really sarcastic Rick newscasters pretty much like defaming and being an asshole to candidate Morty,
mm-hmm.
and being really derisive. Like that in our world, anybody on either side of the spectrum can like say that happened to their candidate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it's your Fox News for one way, it's your MSNBC for another, CNN for another,
mm-hmm. yeah,
whatever, yeah,
yeah. Even in the debates where Morty tries to, Morty actually gets a legit question, and the three Ricks start farting,
which is the appropriate response,
right? Of course, well, yeah. But in the real world, that happens all the time, right? Because it seems like such, you know, on its face in the cartoon is such nonsense, but in the real world. That's exactly what happens. Somebody's asked a question in these political debates, and somebody like goes way off topic just to get their
right. their or they're piping in before the question's even
right.
being answered, which is what happened here. And are instead of farting, they're basically farting with their mouths, throwing in stuff that no one asked them and no one cares to know at that time.
Exactly. Politician Morty handled it well, though.
He did. Well, that's his job. That's why he's Politician Morty.
Yeah, he like stopped him right in his tracks, right? Like, are you guys finished? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the best way. If anybody's really trying to aggravate you, if you're just completely calm and just like ask everybody, you know, like, hey, you guys finished? It totally ruins everybody's good time.
I just like to point out the various Ricks that are running, mm-hmm. too. I already mentioned a retired General Rick,
mm-hmm.
and Juggling Rick.
Right.
Both ridiculous ones. There's Private Sector Rick,
mm-hmm.
which has a hilariously bad comb-over.
Right.
So there's obviously your Donald Trump
right,
reference
of course.
There. Then there's the Rick Guilt Rick.
Yeah.
Who looks like the taxes or the rent is too damn high guy.
Ah, that's who it was. I was sitting there looking at my, come on, that guy's haircut is so ridiculous. It looks so familiar. But yeah, the rent is too damn high indeed.
Yep.
So
he farts twice.
Mm-hmm.
So just to note that.
Right.
And then there's reverse Rick outrage, who looks like a kind of a Bernie Sanders-y Rick.
Mm-hmm.
There, just hilarious tropes of what your common politicians are anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, they all fit into those really categories.
Right.
Especially juggling Rick. Especially juggling Rick.
I would have loved to see the storyboards for this episode. Like, one, of how they kept track of everybody and what they were doing. Like, I'd like to see the script and see what the script's description of the different Ricks are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, how they...
Or how many other Ricks were potential candidates.
Right.
If those are the ones that they stuck to.
Mm-hmm. So, long story short, they're having a political debate. It's them by farts. And political Morty makes a rousing speech where he preaches pretty much what he's selling is that he's a Morty for everybody.
Yeah, he's preaching equality.
Mm-hmm. He's
wanting, he's sick of bickering back and forth and having elite Ricks and elite Mortys.
Mm-hmm. But
most importantly, elite Ricks always running things. He's a person of the people.
Yeah,
he can cross both sides of the aisle there.
He's the people's Morty. Indeed. He's the people's Morty. The four Mortys in the what is next? It's the cop one, right?
Yeah, right after that, because shit, it goes newscast about political crap. Then it goes into the chamber or the political office of candidate Morty,
mm-hmm.
And then they're having a parade outside for Mortys. Vote the Mortys are having a parade to vote Morty.
Oh.
And then that's where we meet cop Morty and rookie cop Rick.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and they get in there and we find out that cop Morty is kind of a racist dick.
Yeah. But he's, like, self-hating.
Yeah, I mean, completely, because it's his own people.
Yeah, he's totally self-hating on his own people. He's completely jaded. He's very cynical. And it was nice to see Cop Rick. I like that they made Cop Rick, like, the good guy. Like, because Rick is usually such a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
But this good Cop Rick seems like a genuinely good dude with solid principles, as opposed to the questionable ethicality of the Rick that we follow, and apparently most Ricks that there are.
Yes. Yeah, he has a good head on his shoulder. He's trying to make the right decisions, mm-hmm,
yeah.
It sounds
like. He just wants to...
They meet together.
He just wants to make a difference, you know? He just wanted to join mm-hmm. the force, put his boots on the ground and make a difference with his community. Jaded Cop Morty, on the other hand, is hates his own people, is incredibly ruthless. He's definitely a cop that plays by his own rules and answers to no man.
He's very Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. He is. He's totally the guy that marches into the chief of police office, slams his badge on the desk because he's going to go do things his own way.
And we find out later he is just kind of doing things
mm-hmm.
his own way because fuck it, because he can, because these are his streets, damn it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No one's going to tell him what to do.
I did love the intensity of when there was the two punk Mortys in the alley doing drugs or shooting dice, and they smarted off to him because they called him a sidekick.
Uh-huh.
And he stuck the gun in his mouth, and he's like, you want to see how I paint walls? It was so badass. Yeah. Such a badass Morty.
And that really sets the tone for that whole, C storyline
mm-hmm.
that we've got going on now.
Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of sad to know that there's just a whole slum of lost Mortys with no hope. They'll never even make it to the school of... the Morty school, they'll never even make it there. They're just a bunch of delinquents that are just kind of hopelessly lost in their own personal darkness.
Yeah, along with, you know, whatever Ricks also couldn't make it on their own or find a menial Rick job.
Yeah. See,
because we also find a meth Rick. I guess is what you call him.
Yeah, he eventually. Right, yeah, he was making bootleg portal juice or something like that. Yeah, bootleg portal juice, yep. But speaking of just kind of being lost with no hope, you know, then we get to see the other side of it and all the Mortys who are fortunate enough to make it to Morty school.
Mm-hmm.
Where
we kind of hear about Morty school or being matched up with another Rick from Morty's that were all lost back in season one when they were trying. They fought the original evil Rick and evil Morty in that episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember they had the whole their own little citadel of sorts, which was a sphere covered in Mortys.
Yeah,
that were being poked in the belly.
Mm-hmm.
That were all stolen from their Ricks because their Ricks got killed by evil Rick. In order to kind of keep them hidden from all the Rick sensors.
Mm-hmm.
Because they match up. So whenever all the Mortys go onto the ships to be taken back to the Citadel, they do say that they do have a kind of training program. And now we're getting insight into that.
That's right.
On how they get reassimilated with other Ricks.
That's right. That's a good callback, yeah. Because one of the Citadel Ricks refers to them as poor little Rickless bastards.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. Okay, not bad, Jeff. Look at you. Did you look that up, or did you just remember that?
I remembered it, and I went back and watched the episode, the other episode again.
Nice, nice. Look at
that. Had a hint of it. Recall.
Look at that.
Total recall.
Gotcha.
That's not the episode, but that's what I had happen in my head.
Mm-hmm. There is the four the Mortys that we follow here are Lizard Morty. Morty with glasses, fat Morty, and Slick Morty.
Mm-hmm.
I like
which this is Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. Each one of those represents someone because that was in Stand By Me.
Yeah, well, I figured that out as soon as I saw Lizard Morty. I was like, oh, Stand By Me. There's totally
yep. That was the giveaway.
Yeah. I love that Fat Morty thought he was Left Hand Morty.
right. Well, maybe he should eat some more vegetables with that left hand.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
That was a nice little jab by Lizard Morty.
I don't even know if it was a jab, but I think it was just so optimistic. Like, he's just, like, looking on the bright side of things. And in Morty speak, I'm not even sure if that was him being a dick so much as it was, like, well, hey, here's a way.
Trying to give friendly advice.
Yeah, like, hey, this is how you could be left-handed Morty, if you, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those, like, backhanded compliments.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see.
I don't know. Just the delivery of it, like it was funny. It was funny as shit. But like, I don't see the character of Morty being that savage. I guess I don't know. I just thought. I like to think there was more. I like to think there was more naivete in the delivery of that than there was. Condescension.
Okay, I'll give that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we do know that Morty can have his quips here,
oh, yeah.
Back and forth and around.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I just tend to look at the. I just kind of like the character best when he's just kind of like an emotional yet well-meaning doofus.
Yes. Speaking of doofus, there is a doofus-like Rick in the school too. That's in a yellow shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who believes he's a Morty?
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. Super. Yeah, what was it? Super tall Morty?
Yes, super tall Morty.
I wouldn't mind an episode following super tall Morty.
Yeah, well, I hope that here in the next two or three episodes, as this episode kind of culminates, however it does, for the rest of the season, we find out what the hell tall Morty is there for. Because, you know, it's got to be an anomaly to have a Rick
mm-hmm.
in Morty school.
Yeah.
So,
well, I hope so too.
I'm just hoping. But anyway, the kids, the Mortys, all on their last day of school here, want to go make it a big deal and go to the wishing portal
mm-hmm.
and go find it. Take a little journey of self-discovery.
Mm, indeed,
learn some life lessons. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how it'll turn out for them.
I know it's weird. So after they make their pact to go do that, then we get into the factory where we meet back up with Bald Rick from the train.
Yeah, Simple Rick wafers.
Mm-hmm. Made by the juice secreted of happy memories of a Rick that raised his Summer. Or not his Summer, his Beth.
His Beth, yeah. That was kind of a sweet touch, right?
Yeah, and then, well, until the Ricks kidnapped him and then strapped him up to a machine to extract happy juices from him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's probably about the best outcome you can get in a Rick society.
Yeah,
I guess.
And Bald Rick, he kind of becomes a terror Rick'd.
Yes,
I think
after he finds out that he's been overlooked for a job for that was given to Cool Rick instead.
Right? I'd be cool losing a job to Cool Rick. I mean, it's Cool Rick.
I mean, he did seem pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so much undertones in this particular storyline, because I think everybody can relate about having the seemingly dead-end job that you're just kind of there for your paycheck, and then some asshole comes along and he gets either hired above you or a promotion over you, totally undeservedly so.
Yeah, or you've been there for 15 years, like he says, mm-hmm. I believe, and you weren't even asked. They just bring some asshole from outside the company.
Yeah.
Who has like 2 years total experience.
Right.
Yeah.
But
it happens. If it happens now, it happens every day.
But man, is he cool.
Did you see those glasses, man?
Yeah.
I mean, those were kick ass. Those were kick ass shades.
So cool. Cool Rick is so cool. All right. So we pick back up with Cop Rick and Rick Morty Cop, or Cop Rick and Cop Morty in Morty Town. See, this is where I think I started to lose it a little bit. So many storylines were going at once, and so many Rick and Mortys. I, like, even thinking about it and reading the notes that I jotted down in sequence is making me double think what I think I saw. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be like, oh, well, this Morty. Wait a minute. Was it that Morty, or was it the weird Morty with, like, the blue shirt or something? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, Cop Rick and Cop Morty are in Morty Town at the Morty Mart, which was robbed by a Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And they're speaking to the Morty Mart manager, Morty.
Mm-hmm. Who looks like normal. Yeah,
I was just trying to put you back on. Make it less confusing.
No, I got it. And then he's talking to Cop Rick and Cop Morty, and he describes the perp's appearance as that of a normal Morty. But Octopus Morty sweeping the floor behind him is offended by the use of normal.
Well, yeah, maybe Octopus Morty, or whatever he is, just needs to get off his crybaby train.
Right.
And just kind of deal and realize maybe he's a little bit different. Mm-hmm.
I like how Shopkeeper Morty handled that, too. He said, you know, put it in your blog.
Yeah. Put it in your blog.
Which is great.
They're getting the nice little jabs in here for a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a great reflection of reality, because that's what everybody fucking does nowadays, is hop on their own little blogs and
hope someone cares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Instead of a bot that's probably going to your site because they're trying to sell you porn or Viagra.
But
that's where we get to our alley scene.
Yeah, and we touched on it.
Vandal Morty.
Yeah, we touched on that a little earlier. Man, Cop Morty is just such a badass, man.
Such a badass. Such a rule breaker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cop Rick is really not having much of it.
No, he's
more worried about the rules that were broken there, not about the way that they could get the information.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, I jumped ahead because I started second guessing myself again. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, Cop Rick is just there. He's trying to play it straight, man. He's just trying to play it straight and make a difference, but Cop Morty, you know, those are his streets.
Yeah,
and
he's not the first Rick mm-hmm. to be his partner.
The glimpse into their own little language, which pretty much just is premised off of oh jeez, talking to the Vandals, and because he's going to go speak their language, he's like oh jeez, I don't know, guys.
Almost like the stereotype talk
mm-hmm.
he was getting into, because he doesn't talk like that.
Right.
But that's how he's relating to the kids.
Right, right.
After we get done with Cop Morty.
Right, strong-arming.
Strong-arming Cop Rick to basically tell him, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do things my way.
Right. He did find out that the people that knocked off the the Morty Mart were the Morty Town Locos.
Yes. What a hilariously crappy name for a gang, too.
The Mortytown Locos.
So. But then we jump to the actual debate.
Right, and we kind of touched on this earlier with the farting and, you know.
And the epic speech by candidate Morty.
Mm-hmm. Right, he is the people's Morty, as we said. Mm-hmm. And I think we covered that pretty well, but I did love the montage with the music during that because it was actually really hopeful for such a ridiculous-ass cartoon. Like, as you were watching the montage with the music, you couldn't help but be like, inspired. Yeah. Like, yeah, man. That's right.
I really believe in candidate Morty's message.
Yeah. Like, that is my Morty, man. And you're like, yeah, that's my Morty. And then you're like, oh, yeah, this is a fucking ridiculous-ass cartoon.
Yeah. I guess it's worth pointing out here, too, that campaign manager Morty is always being negative until that point.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying give up. And after the debate and after the epic speech, he also ends up getting fired thanks to that negativity.
Yeah, well, exactly, man. Especially if you're having a campaign manager run your campaign, you can't have him not believe in your message. Campaign Morty might have been able to keep his job if he didn't say, you know, I didn't think he could do it.
If he believed in the cause, if he believed mm-hmm. wholeheartedly in the cause,
mm-hmm.
he could have stayed.
Yeah,
there.
Much like Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, if you believe, good things happen.
Right, you'll get that dollar under your pillow, and you won't get beaten by Krampus.
That's right. Simultaneously, this is where the terror Rick, Rick J22, goes crazy and just starts murdering fools, including regional manager Rick.
I think we actually jump to the... Oh, never mind. The boys are escaping during the speech. Sorry, you can cut that out.
Oh, yeah.
I messed
up. I didn't know if that was part of the... In my notes, I just have, like, yeah. We're back to...
Yeah,
back to,
you're right. He murders... You said
yeah.
He murders manager Rick.
In my notes, I'm just saying...
Using the gun
yeah.
or that he uses to stamp the things.
Yeah.
Stamp the wafers.
Yeah. Which, why do they need a lethal weapon? Like, why do they need a gun to do that?
I like to think that it wasn't a gun, but Rick, because all Ricks are Ricks,
mm-hmm.
that it was, he ripped it off, and while he was running up to the manager's office,
mm-hmm.
He modified it into a deadly weapon.
Okay.
That's what I like to think.
Fair enough.
I don't know if that's true, or if that's how it was intended.
Fair enough. And he holds the, man, what is that? Happy Rick, I guess? Oh, Simple Rick. He'd be Simple Rick.
Simple Rick.
Yeah.
Yes.
He holds Simple Rick basically hostage, and the SWAT team Rick, not to be seen with SEAL team Rick, but they are, yeah, is that what it is? SEAL team Rick?
SEAL team Ricks.
SEAL team Ricks, yes. The SWAT team tries to basically talk him down, and they can't, man. Like, Terror Rick, he's just striking out against the man. All he wants is, like, an untraceable portal gun, and I guess he thinks he'll be on his way.
Yeah, just your average hostage crisis type things, making demands to get out of there scot-free.
Right.
Like you haven't done anything.
And the total, you know, and it's sad to see the total downfall of that character, too, right? Because he, like, just as in real life, should, you know, when similar situations happen, he's crossed the line, and there's absolutely no going back. It's one thing to have a bad day at work, but at some point... You take it just a little too far, and all hope is lost, because now there's no future for him.
Right. The second you murder your manager, mm-hmm. you're probably having a bad day.
It's generally frowned upon.
Generally.
Right. Not,
I want to make that note.
Not always, but generally, right. It's frowned upon to kill your manager and then hold the lifeblood of your company hostage.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened, I think it depends on the time of year that occurs, right? Like, if it happens during the summer, that's a really bad time to do that. But if it happens anytime between December 20th and January 2nd, then it could just be one of them crazy things that happens at the company holiday party.
Right, everyone got drunk,
mm-hmm.
you know, people made copies of their ass.
Mm-hmm.
On the coffee machines, and people got murdered.
Right.
That's a tale as old as time as far as corporate
mm-hmm.
gatherings go for Christmas
that's
parties.
That's exactly what happened to me when I worked at Kinko's.
See? And look at you now.
Yeah, look at me now.
You didn't need a portal gun.
That's right.
To get out. Which I also thought was weird that Ricks just don't have portal guns.
Yeah, apparently not all of them do. So I wonder how you get in the class of Ricks that get a portal gun.
Maybe it all happened after the Citadel went down and they had to start restructuring their society.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that some have and some don't.
Well,
because there obviously are have and have nots now in this society, mm-hmm. where before everyone was pretty equal except for the council.
Yeah, and plus I guess when, you know, if there's infinite possibilities, there would be also infinite Ricks with portal guns and an infinite amount of Ricks without portal guns.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. By basic, I don't even know what kind of math that is.
infinity math.
Yeah. infinity math. Anything times infinity is infinity. I don't even know. I don't even know if that's accurate or a real math theorem, but I'm going to throw that out from time to time and pretend like I'm really smart.
Sounds good.
So the next time people are talking about like really heavy medical physical theories, I'm just going to be like, "Hey man, you know what it's like to say anything times infinity, it's infinity, man."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all the same.
It's all the same.
All the fucking same.
So we find out then too that now Morty won the election.
Yeah, good for candidate Morty. I like candidate Morty. So I guess
yeah,
he's now president elect Morty.
Yes, president elect of the Citadel in the brand new democratic government that they're trying to build.
Yep, absolutely. So president elect Morty, sweeping victory.
Well, debatably, because they said that it could have triggered a recount, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was close. It was close enough, but he got the votes to win.
Mm-hmm. Again, good commentary on recent events because it's all about how you view it, right? Some people might see a landslide. Other people might see, you know, skin of the teeth type victory. So, man, mm-hmm. just a great episode. Fuck, this episode was so good, man. but again, so many Ricks and Mortys that even as I'm looking at my notes, I still confuse the fuck out of myself.
Well, to add more confusion, so now we cut out from President, former candidate, now President-elect Morty,
mm-hmm.
giving his speech on television to the bar that former campaign manager Morty is at, being served by bartender Morty, drowning his sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, wallowing in his defeat of not being part of the campaign to the end.
Right.
And not believing in his candidate.
Mm-hmm.
When Detective Rick or...
I know he was supposed to be like...
Trench coat Rick.
Like an investigator Rick, but I originally, in my notes, wrote it as like Deep Throat Rick.
That makes sense.
Okay. Right? Because his whole thing is that he's providing information to an intermediary to take down the now highest elected official, right?
Yeah, I could agree with that. We can call him Deep Throat Rick.
There you go, and that goes with your movie thing too, right? All the President's Men.
I said Manchurian Candidate, but All the President's Men could work in there.
Well, this little thing could be, I guess, All the President's Men, right? Because detective or investigator or Deep Throat Rick, whatever you want to call him, brings in some secret files, shows it to campaign former campaign manager Morty, and it's like, oh my God. And you know what? This is the first time where I was sitting next to my wife who was playing the Nintendo Switch, so she's completely uninterested in anything Rick and Morty. So, but she's the only person I had to talk to. And I looked at her and I go, wouldn't it be funny if like the files are really showing that it's evil Morty? And my mm-hmm. my wife looked at me and said, what the fuck is a Morty? I'm like, exactly, Kristen. Right. Yep. I'm like, you just keep playing snipper clips. You just keep playing snipper clips.
Yeah. This is also kind of where I started to question mm-hmm. The possibility of evil Morty mm-hmm. being candidate Morty. Because when he was asked where he originally came from, he didn't know. Or he said he didn't know, or he couldn't remember.
Yeah, he kind of like what? he kind of sidestepped it, right? Like, oh, man, yeah. Yeah, I've had so many Ricks, I've been so many places, it's all blur, or whatever the hell he said.
Right, but we all, as far as anyone can tell, everyone knows where they're coming from.
Right. Here's the
and where they've been, especially if they're at the Citadel.
Right. And here's where, you know, because I said to my wife, I'm like, oh, I bet that's evil Morty, but that was as far as it went for me, because then I went to, man, I bet it's going to be some dumb cop out like that Morty really wasn't born of whatever, you know what I mean? Like there was going to be some other twist, you know what I mean?
Those are pictures of that Morty at the Mortytown strip club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting lap dances from other Mortys.
Yeah, creepy Morty. The creepy Morty.
The creepy Morty, yeah.
Right.
Well, so then, speaking of the creepy Morty, we cut back to Meth Rick and face tattoo Mortys
mm-hmm.
sitting around talking about now that there's a Morty president, would you lick my balls?
Yeah, nice callback.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, and then cop Rick and Morty go in. And, you know, bust the whole place, figuring out what's going on, the chemistry
mm-hmm.
work that's going on.
Right.
And obviously it was bad juice.
Right.
Because Meth Rick gets dissolved when he tries to go through a portal he made with
it. I loved how that was animated, too.
Oh, how he, it kind of
it like,
burnt his skin off and left a skeleton. And
yeah, it kind of like, it almost looked like if you threw a rock at a drum or something, you know, like it just kind of flexed just a bit. It was just like, mm-hmm. the animation was just very satisfying, you know, like you see something, you know, like sometimes animation could be jarring or cheap. It was just really well done. Like he just kind of bounced into it. And then as he backed up, like that's when his entire being fell apart. So just to know, I just really like how that little sequence was animated. I just thought that was really, really well done.
I like the next little sequence of when they found the one Morty standing in the room by himself with the
creepy. Yeah.
That was creepy as hell.
How dark is that shit?
I'm not even recalling like what reference that... It's got to be a reference to a movie in some way.
You know what? I think that's actually probably just a sad reference to reality. And if it isn't, if that hasn't been done before, that's just like a sad thought, right? Because you know that there's crazy crackheads out there who probably do come up with schemes similar to gain sympathy for their actions. You know what I mean? Like, and I didn't even pick up on the fact, like, why would Morty have a crib? Right?
Yeah, that is odd.
Like,
yes.
Even though Rick, he's like, why do they even have a crib anyway? It was even later, like on the third time that I watched this, where I was like, yeah, why do they have a crib, Rick? Like, like even though it was explicitly said, somehow I still did not catch it. Like, I saw the crib and I saw the Morty, but I didn't put two and two together, even though it was told to me. Like, why would he have a crib? It just shows...
Just too into the scene.
Yeah, it just shows how desperate some Mortys are.
Yeah, and I did like the little... that someone tagged Get Schwifty on the wall mm-hmm. of that room, too. Right. I just wanted to throw that out there because that's an excellent episode.
Right.
And song. It's an excellent song.
It is, indeed.
I listen to it at work.
Indeed. Cop Morty, is this when he...
Cop Morty sends Cop Rick out to bandage his stab wound that he got from Creepy Morty.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy bedroom baby... crib Morty.
Mm-hmm. Baby monitor Morty.
And in the meantime, while he goes out there to bandage himself up, Cop Morty just blows up the building and kills everybody.
Yeah.
He got the information he needed and said, fuck it.
Yeah. And again, some heavy-handed social commentary. Same old story, just Morty's killing Mortys.
Mm-hmm.
Morty's killing Mortys, man. Really?
Plague society.
Really? Man, I really love this episode, and I think this is like probably easily I know it's like now, you know, obvious by now, but this is obviously the darkest episode this year by far.
Oh yeah,
by far.
Well, I'd say this is the most story driven mm-hmm. episode by far of the season. I don't know about dark, because There's been quite a few instances where things just got really weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, but this is just like a...
This one has a lot of commentary and I think drives the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially four episodes in one that are all thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it drives more than happened in like the past three episodes,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, as far as the plot.
Yeah. Do you think this is I think this is where Cop Rick is now probably completely disillusioned with Cop Morty.
I don't think he's down with his methods.
Mm-hmm.
Where before they were kind of sketchy, but they towed the line. This was kind of over the line.
Yep.
With that whole piece.
Yep, just a bit too far. Can't kill your perps, man.
Nope.
Can't kill your perps.
Nope. Speaking of perps, then we cut to a scene of the Mortys climbing on each other in a mega fruit orchard. Call back to episode one.
Nice. Yeah.
Pilot.
I like that.
With a toothless farmer Hick Rick.
And he had a robot dog.
Threatening to shoot them, pulling a gun on them because they're trying to steal his mega fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go have their fun little campfire scene talking about their dreams, their hopes, their sadness. Mm-hmm. And that's when we find out the real sadness that, as you mentioned before, left-hand Morty is really called Fat Morty.
Hick Rick, I love his reasoning for chasing them off the farm was pretty much just because he's so committed to the character of Hick Rick that's what Hick Rick would do.
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't commit to that character just so they could come steal his fruit.
Yeah, everyone has their place in society, and if you're going to do it, damn it, do it full bore.
Yeah, you got to commit. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Then I think we see the creepy Morty, right? The creepy Morty, sexy ass.
No. Next is when Candidate Morty gets stabbed.
The assassination attempt.
Yes. So they're going through a receiving line outside of a building or something, and he's handshaking with other Ricks,
mm-hmm,
who are all there, including a weird clone baby Rick.
Yeah. President-elect Morty could kiss him.
Yeah.
Right, he cloned a Rick so President-elect Morty could kiss him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then campaign manager Morty is there, and with the documents that he had, and he's seen, and he shoots.
Excuse me.
And he shoots President-elect Morty,
mm-hmm,
right there in an assassination attempt, and gets hilariously tasered. Because I did laugh out loud at that for whatever reason. So now we jump into the creepy Morty.
Yeah, now we're at the creepy Morty, and we learn about Big Morty.
We learn a lot about just Mortys in general, mm-hmm, at the creepy Morty. They can't do math. How far Cowboy Morty has fallen since we saw him in the Citadel the first time.
Right.
That there is cut-off shorts Morty,
mm-hmm,
that was giving a lap dance to, I don't know, hippie bearded homeless Morty. I don't know what that guy was. Just lots of weird Mortys all the way around.
It's definitely good insight to the lowest, to the most unscrupulous Mortys, like the lowest, the lowest, seediest rung of Mortys in their society.
It's such a low, dark place, mm-hmm, that they're in. Which also, I did note, at one of the bar scenes, when they're just flashing around, showing all the weird Mortys, there's a Marty McFly Morty.
Nice.
Which I'm going to guess refers back to the original pre-Rick and Morty show, mm-hmm, where it was based on Rick and Morty was really about a Back to the Future type thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome.
So just thought I'd throw that out there as a nice little piece that was thrown.
Awesome, and we find out that Cop Morty is on the take.
Yeah, and is not discreet about it and does not know how to use metaphors. Because he just blatantly explains exactly what's going on.
Yep. And Cop Rick is a man of integrity and makes the ballsy move to take Big Morty down. Maybe not even take
right
him,
in front of
just
him.
Take him in, I guess. Not really take him
yeah,
in.
Yeah, he places him under arrest.
Right.
Or it was his intention.
Right.
Despite all the other stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
Which turns into a massive gunfight,
mm-hmm,
where all sorts of Mortys die again, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cop Morty did give the assist to Cop Rick, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Cop Morty could have killed Cop Rick right there, but Cop Morty... you know, when shit went down, it's like he turned on Big Morty and was going to fight alongside Rick. Like, perhaps he'd seen the errors of his ways, but it just wasn't to be.
Nope. And then we get Cop Morty tries to play on Cop Rick's Rickness, or general, granddad instinct that he has there. Mm-hmm. But instead, shoots Big Morty and tries to kill Rick at the same time. And Rick just lays him out.
Right? Yeah, classic tale. Rick's killing Morty's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, such a good scene. So, I really thought for a minute there, I was kind of, because once again, I've seen Stand By Me and then the other three movies that this is based on, I have never seen. So, okay. Like, it's all kind of fresh to me. So there was a moment there where I thought that there was going to be more to it. Like, I honestly thought, I thought since Cop Rick is so different than most of the Ricks that we see, that mm-hmm. that whole scenario was going to end up different because it would be so out of character for the Rick that we follow. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you're really expecting Ricks to be a little unscrupulous.
Right, so...
In the way that they operate, and this is actually a golden-hearted...
Right.
Or a genuine person.
Right, so I thought Cop Rick was going to kind of win him over with his righteousness. And then Morty turns on him, and as you said, Rick lays him out. I'm like, oh, okay, that's more like it. Yeah, okay. Well,
this makes sense.
Yeah, okay, back to normal.
So I think that's the end, if I'm remembering. That's the end of the training day storyline, essentially.
Well, I think there's a part that comes up later where Cop Rick is ready to accept whatever is going to happen to him for shooting his partner.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And he gets off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute, because otherwise we cut back to the factory. And they're giving in to the demands of bald terrorist Rick.
Yeah, untraceable portal gun.
Mm-hmm. And he unexpectedly unhooks Simple Rick to take him as a hostage with him.
Mm-hmm.
And uses the portal gun to go out and shoves him through first. But it was set, unbeknownst to terrorist Rick, that it was sent to the blender dimension.
See, I didn't take it like that. I took that he knew that they were going to double cross him, so he threw Simple Rick in.
I think he did it as a test, but he was going to take him as a hostage no matter what. Mm-hmm. But he put Simple Rick in first as like a test, is what I was going to, because he did mention, you know, that's the oldest trick in the book. I'm a Rick too.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I would have done.
Right.
So he probably had an inkling that it was exactly that, but he was also using Simple Rick as a, if it did work out, as a contingency. That's my interpretation of it. But
gotcha. I thought he just took Simple Rick, and since he was already, you know, too far in, he knew that they were going to double cross him. So as like an act of spite, he tossed Simple Rick in, and then when it spit him back out, you know, he's like a blender galaxy or blender dimension. You know, like are you serious? Like, you know what I mean? Kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of reminiscent of the first episode where Rick knew that that they were bugging his brain or whatever, and he's basically like, you couldn't spring for the better machine, for the better brainalyzer.
Yeah. it's almost like, you know, as they get more aggressive,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a switch gets flipped here, that the Ricks that have been kind of quelled by society mm-hmm. turn into regular Ricks.
Yeah. Yep. I get you. Yep, totally. Like, it's just bursting out. Like, it's just who they are. It's, like, essentially them. Like, at the most core, that's what a Rick is.
Yeah.
And if you suppress it, eventually it's gonna strike out tenfold.
It's like when a tiger mauls a magician on stage.
Right. Right. That's why...
It was just bound to happen.
Yeah, that's why I interpreted it as he was like, you know what, fuck it, I already know what they're going to do. I'm going to toss the guy in so they lose him anyway. Because then it's spite, right? Because it's lose-lose for everybody.
Then he's just salting the ground that he was already there.
Right,
on,
yes.
Which is a typical...
Scorched reason. Earth, motherfuckers. Like, he mm-hmm. he tilled up the dirt and he poured salt all over. Exactly. Exactly. Which, by the way, I was trying to convince one of my neighbors that if they put like melting salt in their garden, that it would help stuff grow.
Oh, what an excellent neighbor! It's got electrolytes. Mm-hmm. It's what plants crave.
So, yeah, that's how I interpreted that. It was just scorched earth. It's like, fuck it, I'm just going to kill the hostage because I'm going to die anyway. So now everybody, nobody's going to come out of this a winner. Nobody.
Nope. SWAT team Rick gets some awesome laser cannon thing to melt the door open.
Oh, man, yeah, the torch.
Cut the wall open. Yeah, to cut the wall open. To just go in and say, fuck it, and everyone's going to end up dying. Yeah. Or lots of people are. Until Willy Wonka Rick comes in.
Yeah, that was totally unexpected. That was, like, I feel like I'm, like, to the point to condition that any time that there's a cartoon and it ends up at a factory that mass produces some sort of consumable good, that it's going to turn into a Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory parody. But...
Well...
And that's exactly what happened with the symbol, exactly, right? And I thought I had an inkling of that when they first showed the factory way back at the beginning of the thing. I'm like, oh, they're gonna fucking Willy Wonka it. But then everything else got so fucking haywire and crazy. I thought that would be one thing that they would completely avoid. But no, out of nowhere comes fucking Top Hat, fucking Top Hat Willy Wonka Rick, who
with a Rubik's Cube cane or something like
yeah,
that.
Appearing to be the voice of reason when he's not. He's just kind of luring the terror Rick out, you know, like getting his guard down just so he could shoot him in the back of the head.
Yeah, because that was this Rick's, Willy Wonka Rick, high society Rick, so he didn't necessarily have to change too much mm-hmm. to the rest of the Ricks. That's kind of his contingency plan is... He's going to give him a good life and really awesome time walking him out of the factory and feeling like he actually accomplished what he was going to do. And that's how they make the new juice to put in the new wafers. It's like Coke 2.
Right, but he killed him. But Willy Wonka Rick...
Willy Wonka Rick didn't kill him. He, like, shot him, but, like, it stunned him enough.
Oh, I totally missed that. So what you're saying is Willy Wonka, okay, so, yes, okay, so you're saying that the Willy Wonka Rick walked him out and basically was going to make all of his dreams come true, and then he essentially paralyzed him so they could farm out more of the simple Rick juice to keep the factory going.
Right. Okay. And it's not simple Rick juice now. It's whatever this new Rick is, so that's why they can't call it Simple Rick wafers. It's called like Simple Rick 2s or something like
that. Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Well.
Or Simple Rick Premium or something like
gotcha. That. Gotcha. Because I remember the second Simple Rick commercial. I took it as the Willy Wonka Rick because he's high society and uppity had just lost his cash cow. So it was the easiest way to lure. You know what I mean? Like he like
lure him out so he could have the satisfaction of murder.
Right, and not only that, like think of how evil that is. He gave the Rick that snapped everything he wanted, right? Just to take it away by killing him before. It's like in the movies where the bad guy always tells somebody that they're free to go and then run and then they get like a, you know, like 10 feet away and then they shoot him anyway. Yeah. That's how I interpreted that was he's like, this motherfucker just like killed my cash cow. What's the easiest way to, like, hey, man, you're going to get everything you want. You're going to be so happy. And then, bam, you're fucking dead. You know what I mean? You get their hopes up. And then in a last act of, you know, like, you literally take everything away from it. That's a total power move, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, and then because all the other Ricks saw that. All the other Ricks saw how completely diabolical that is, you know? Mm-hmm. So that puts the Willy Wonka Rick, you know, higher on the food chain, because then people are like, man, not only is he rich, but that motherfucker is cold-hearted. Like, he...
Cold-blooded.
Yeah, like, everybody here watched him basically work a miracle and be magnanimous and forgiving just to pull it all away in front of all of our eyes. Like it was like almost like he was sending a message.
But that's essentially what he did, though. Because, you know, he got screwed over, so he did give him all this the happiness stuff. But it was all for his own underhanded plot to essentially make him a slave for the rest of his life.
Yeah, see, I guess I just didn't catch that what the second commercial was insinuating was that... Like, I guess I just thought the second commercial, and I should have known better knowing the show, was just more of a throwaway than it was integral to the plot. You know what I mean? Because I was so stuck on, like, damn, cold-hearted Willy Wonka just murder that motherfucker. You know, mm-hmm. But really, I see what you're saying now. It's like, yeah, no, he pretty much, you know, enslaved him by paralyzing him. So, all right, I can see that one. Well done. I guess I just didn't interpret it like that. But yours makes more sense because I actually remember being like, well, that's, you know, like, what a dumb throwaway joke. You know what I mean? Because I was like, why would they even put that in there? Like, it was so much better without that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because then I interpreted the throwaway joke as, like, they just kind of came up with some sort of weird concoction to, like, I thought that was more of a commentary of, like, making, like, a synthetic type Rick brain juice.
Okay.
Right? So even though they lost the original recipe and the, you know, the cynical, evil, corporate, greedy Willy Wonka Rick still found a way to continue even though he lost his cash cow. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how I got that. And then I was like, well, that's kind of, why would they even bother like animating it? Like, I guess, you know, Sam Elliott just needed a bigger check or something. Yeah. But
he had to have two sets.
But no, that's a good point. And I guess I should have picked up on that, is that it was his way of continuing his business. So, all right. Decent.
Then we cut back to the Mortys, mm-hmm. Actually get to the wishing portal.
Yeah.
And break in this weird factory that it's mm-hmm. in, and see this gigantic portal that looks like it's a bottomless pit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're supposed to make a wish and throw in something that means a lot to them in order for it to come true. So each of them throw in their most prized possessions when they make those, like a panini maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because left-handed Rick, that's all he needed was, you know, his most prized possession was a panini maker.
And he wanted a million sandwiches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For that, Lizard Rick had a really shitty shark tooth necklace.
Came to grips really quick with being Fat Morty.
Yeah.
Well, right?
You know, right. If you're called out on it, might as well go along.
The previous night's campfire, he thought he was left-hand Morty. Then all of a sudden, the next day, his most prized possession is a panini maker, and he wants a million sandwiches. So either he was in severe denial, and that's why he thought he was left-handed Morty, or he just came to grips real quick with being Fat Morty.
Well, he had to have probably known it the whole time because he carried that panini maker around in his backpack the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's always been Fat Rick or Fat Morty. Like underneath.
He's always known he was Fat Morty.
Yeah. He was a closeted Fat
Morty. Yeah, he just didn't want to. He just wanted to. It's like people that smoke weed. Yeah, you know, and people are like, "Oh, I have anxiety and I can't sleep and that's why I smoke weed." And then if you call him out and be like, bullshit, you just want to get high. Just say you want to get high, dude." And now all of a sudden
in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Like just say you want to get stoned. Like and then all of a sudden now then they openly talk about getting stoned without like the qualifier of like, "Oh, because of my anxiety or whatever." You know what I mean? Like much like mm-hmm. that. His whole life he's probably looking in the mirror. He's like, "Yeah, you know, I'm chunky as fuck." And then people are like, dude, homie, Fat Morty, you need to lose some weight." Like, "Dude, I'm not Fat Morty, I'm left-handed Morty." You know what I mean? Like it's just he just came to grips. And I guess that's a good time to do it, right? Because like if you can be yourself in front of your buddies and they look like four lifelong pals.
That's the journey they're on, mm-hmm. is that this friendship journey. Mm-hmm. You know, really, really self-discovery.
Right.
And really learning about themselves and each other.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
While they go through this.
Indeed.
I like that Glasses Morty threw away his harmonica just to make incest porn better or more accepted. For a friend, not for
himself.
Right,
yeah. Well, that's just because he's a solid dude, right? Good looking out.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just trying to help out the other Morty.
Right. It's very much so appreciated. Very much so appreciated.
And then Slick Hair Morty just wishes for change in general.
Mm-hmm.
And sacrifices himself to make that change into the wishing portal.
Mm-hmm.
That we actually find out is a garbage.
So great. So fucking great.
So the whole thing, yes, well, this whole storyline was just
garbage. Yeah, just pointless. Yeah.
Yep.
Filler. Great filler, though. But filler nonetheless. But hey, whole point of this TV series, right, is like nothing matters because there's infinite possibilities, and if anything can happen, then it doesn't matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, infinite, you know, possibilities, and so none of it matters. Their whole little self-discovery trip, none of it matters, except for the incest part. Maybe one day.
Right. Well, then, and that matters for everybody. Mm-hmm. Really right. Does.
Exactly.
So we cut back to kind of, I guess, the police station, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it, and they, Candidate Morty, they're throwing him in a cell, it looks like.
Yeah.
And lock him in there, and he's trying to explain himself to the feds, mm-hmm. Fed Ricks that are there. You know, like, this is the plot that's going on, and one has a really clever quip about what he's going to do, and the other one doesn't get it at all, because mm-hmm. they just eject him into space with the evidence.
Right.
Also, that he was given. And it was sad that he didn't pick up on the blowout joke.
The blowout joke. Oh, yeah, because he was trying to give, like, a good quip before he sucked him out of the... before he... But, yeah, right, yeah.
Your classic one-liner before you murder somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
That's also where we find out, too, that Cop Rick gets off scot-free because everything's changed now that there's the new president.
Mm-hmm.
And the school's closing, too.
Yeah.
So, which Mortys are just going to have to fend for themselves, I
Well,
guess?
Which I would probably think the school closing would probably be an appeal to the Ricks. Right? Like, reaching across the aisle because Ricks hate school.
Ricks do hate school.
Yeah, Ricks hate school. So
very nice.
Maybe, you know, maybe he was showing his bipartisanship. Right? You give him the reins of power. And then mm-hmm. so they eventually come to your side, or at least tolerate your viewpoints. You know, you give them a small victory. And for Ricks, that victory could be no schools, because Ricks hate schools.
Hmm. All right.
That's how I got it. Anyway, that's what I got out of it, because why else would they close it? Right? Because I asked the same thing. I'm like, why close the schools? And I was like, oh, Rick hates schools. So there you go. Maybe he's reaching across the aisle. Because if he's going to do... Because we find out, right, Candidate Morty is Evil Morty, right?
Yeah, the very next and last scene here is the boardroom, where all the Ricks tell him basically the election doesn't matter because there's a secret council of Ricks mm-hmm. that has always controlled everything, even under the council or over the council of Ricks in secret. Mm-hmm. And Morty just wants to make sure everyone still agrees with that, and most of the people do, and then all of those people get their heads exploded.
Mm-hmm. Ruling with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm. I did like the little nod to where, when he's giving his epic speech at the end, they threw over the tarps and things over the front of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Very dictator-like.
Right.
Like if Nazi Germany type things, or you know, something like right. that. And then we get all of the massive amount of dead people that have all been ejected here this episode into space. Mm-hmm. And that's where we find out just on a close up of Candidate Morty's bag that has come open, there's pictures of Evil Morty in it.
And of course the la 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 the song.
Yes, and the Evil Morty theme mm-hmm. as it's called or been called. Yep.
I do appreciate Evil Morty start to monologue. But his monologue mm-hmm. is about how he is going, like the method in which he is going to monologue. Mm-hmm. Like he monologues about how his upcoming monologue will be about power and politics.
Like he really didn't have much to
right.
say.
But you know, if you're a bad guy, you have to monologue, right?
Well, right. Of course, because so, there has to be some type of montage, mm-hmm, too.
Of course.
During that monologue.
Of course. So, yeah, overall, great episode. I really, really enjoyed the episode. I think I could probably watch it 20 more times and still have a hard time following it. Like I said, as I'm looking through my notes here, I think I wrote the word Morty so long that so many times that eventually I started doing shorthand like M for Morty. But then there were so many M's that I as I'm sitting there looking at it, I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, was I supposed to be writing like a word there that started with M that isn't Morty? like what is that M referring to? Is that part of the word before it? Because that wouldn't make sense. Like form of what?
So essentially you're just saying you're a bad note.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yep.
I did like the outro mm-hmm. Or the post credit. when they come back, talking about all the mermaid puss they had in Atlantis and how awesome of a place it was.
Yeah. Sounds sweet. Wish we could have saw it.
And yeah, I know. And that obviously none of the stuff in the storyline is going to affect them.
It'd be great if next week's episode was actually an Atlantis episode.
I thought that there was a commercial here for the next episode, that it's something, some type of cut show that's all together, because I thought it had Rick saying that this is the replacement for Interdimensional Cable.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, they totally did a misdirection on this one. Yeah. I'm just saying it'd be funny to me personally if they advertise it as a clip show, but then it is the actual... It's like the flip side of it. Like, it's the actual... Like, it starts off with all the storylines of this one. It touches on them, but the whole rest of the episode is the simultaneous part where they're actually in Atlantis.
It actually takes place. That's the true Ricklantis mix-up.
Yeah.
Is they just mix up the two
episodes. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think that'd be awesome.
Well, you're calling that right now.
Yeah. So putting money on it.
All right, well, let's see what happens.
Absolutely. Overall, great episode. I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic, yeah.
So good. Kind of makes up for some of the, like, not really lower points. I'm not really sure if there's any, like, low points of the season, but there's definitely some that are just better than others this season. We've talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah, there always are going to be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. But this is definitely, especially now that we're toward the end, totally ramps up an actual story, consistent story, outside of the fact that, you know, Jerry and Beth got divorced. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an actual plot now.
Right.
For things to happen, instead of a lot of one-off episodes with just that kind of strung in haphazardly as a plot point in one of the side plots, even. Not even, like, the main plot. So that got me really excited. The way it was written and woven together, I thought it was awesome. I mean, just very meticulously done to be able to tie all those stories together, have them intertwine via cutscenes and montages and stuff, so you still have a sense of what's going on in the other storylines, but it's still part of the one that's you're looking at. Yeah, it just... I've watched this episode 3 times, back-to-back, two of them, just to kind of try to take it all in. Because there's still probably a bunch of stuff that I missed, too.
Mm-hmm. So we're just, what, 3 episodes from the end?
This is 7. So
there's 10 episodes, right? So 8, 9, 10. So only 3 till the end. 3 till the end.
So we're almost there. We'll see how... we'll see what happened this Sunday, how that affects what happens for the rest of the season.
Yes. Here. Absolutely. And, of course, sometime after that, Jeff and I will release our discussion on... hold on, what is the name of the next episode?
Next episode Morty's Mind Blowers.
Yeah. And, of course, after the show airs, Jeff and I, probably around the middle of the week, will release our discussion about Morty's Mind Blowers. I'll continue to advertise on Waze in Chicago traffic. Because I think not only is it genius, it's trolling. It's best level. It's just phenomenal.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't be the only person that ever thought of that. I can't be the only person that ever thought of that. But if you're going to advertise a podcast anywhere, you might as well do it on Waze in traffic.
Yep. So thank you for our Waze listeners. Yes. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Of course. And YouTube listeners, TV Time listeners, iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. Make sure to check out our other podcast, Nothing Important. New episodes coming soon. Be sure to check out the last episode we released last week with Wheeler Walker Jr., the honky-tonk legend Pussy King himself.
He's a great...
Yeah.
Leader. That was a good interview, and I'm sorry we lost the first interview we did.
Right. But I hope we do get to have a beer with him, because he just seems like he'd just be like, you know, there's people you want to hang out with and, like, kind of party with, you know? And, he seems like somebody I don't necessarily want to party with, but, like, I'd love just to, like, sit with him in, like, a dark bar, like it's hotter than hell outside, but it's a dark, cool bar, and you just sit there and play music on the jukebox and drink beer all day and be tell stories and be belligerent. Like that seems like the kind of guy that he is. And
well, that's basically his Twitter account. So if you want to follow that, it's been pretty hilarious. Yep.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Apomus Among Us. Please make sure to retweet the things that we have on there. Make sure to throw us comments, suggestions, ideas, and your predictions for the next three episodes. And
yeah, we love the commentary, so interact. We dig it. Even if it's against us, whatever. Yeah. We love the hate also.
That's right. Or if you're a Moon Man trying to make contact, feel free to treat us as well.
Would you shut the fuck up about Moon Man?